Hello and welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Eric.
And today we're going to be talking about a game called Odin Sphere. Not Odin's Sphere, just Odin Sphere.
I'm pretty sure you said the same thing twice.
I know. I'm just making sure everyone hears it right and so that I also get it right, because it feels wrong that it's not like a
possessive
thing. Yeah. So, Odin Sphere is a 2D action role-playing game developed by Vanillaware for PlayStation 2. Gameplay focuses on a beat-em-up style fighting system while incorporating role-playing elements. The story follows five characters on the fantasy continent of Arion during a war between the nations of Ragnaval and Ringford over a weapon called the Crystallization Cauldron and their roles in the Armageddon.
Yep.
Well, lots of cray-cray.
Lots of story and lore in this game.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about the story elements of this game. We're probably not going to talk about the ending because I don't think either of us have made it that far, but we're going to talk about the story and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I kind of looked some stuff up, so I could spoil some stuff if I wanted to, but I really don't know that much, so I'm not going to go into ending stuff.
Yeah. This game ended up being a little bit longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, just a tad.
We probably should have had a little bit more than 2 weeks to play this one.
Yeah, you know. But, maybe. You know, honestly, for you, probably 2 weeks was about right.
2 weeks was... I probably was going to get the same amount done, whether it was 2 weeks or whatever. I was also battling a little bit of a head cold the past 2 weeks, so I don't know, just like a lot.
I mean, you still put over 7 or 8 hours into this game, so I mean, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, I know, but it was just like I wasn't feeling too well, and in this game, you have to learn a lot of things. There's a lot of different layers. You know, this game is like an onion. You have to peel back the layers, and there are many, many layers. So, yeah. Eric, you want to get into the history?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm excited to learn about it. Let's go.
All right, so let me take you back to 1992.
Whoa. Wow, we were just like in first grade, I think.
Yeah, so get ready for a roller coaster of emotions, ups and downs.
Okay, wait, hold up. We're starting in 1992.
Yeah.
But this game came out for PlayStation 2, which
yes.
has got to be like in the 2000s, right?
Yeah. So we're starting all the way back. The story starts in 1992. We have to go back that far.
Holy moly.
There's good reason for it.
Okay.
So
I trust you.
So we have a young George Kamatani, fresh out of college, and starts working as a pixel artist for Capcom with the, you know, with the hope of eventually becoming Capcom.
Yeah. The Capcom.
Yeah, so, you know, and this was like in kind of the golden era of Capcom games.
Oh, like, with
the arcade cabinets.
Did they have Smash Bros then?
Smash Brothers is not Capcom.
Oh, God dang it. Tekken? They had Tekken. No.
Street Fighter 2 was their big one.
No, don't they have... What's their other... Oh, Mega Man.
Yeah, Mega Man,
don't
yeah.
they? Oh, I should have known that because you're like a Mega Man freak.
Yeah, but he wasn't working on Mega Man.
My newbiness just showed really bad.
So it's all right. So yeah, he gets put in the department of the company that's working mostly on kind of action side-scrolling arcade games. Games like Final Fight, Knights of the Round, Street Fighter 2, Alien vs. Predator.
Nice.
So these are like really good, like kind of classic arcade games that were made by Capcom. Probably the most well-known game he worked on while at Capcom was a beat-em-up called Dungeons & Dragons Tower of Doom.
Whoa, that sounds cool.
Yeah, did you ever get to play that game?
No, I didn't know there was a video game Dungeons & Dragons thing. Well, I mean, that makes sense, obviously, but
yeah.
I never thought about it.
Well, you know, it plays more like a beat-em-up than a traditional
role-playing.
You know, like talking to the machine or anything.
Yeah,
but you know, they do incorporate like magic and stuff, so
that's cool. I'm sure people have been stealing D&D.
Oh, I was also gonna,
elements for their games like since D&D came out.
I was also gonna ask too. Like, does Odin Sphere kind of remind you of like an arcade style Capcom game? From
Yeah, like the actual side scroll fighting part.
Yeah, exactly.
That definitely does remind me of an arcade game. That's probably my favorite part of the game.
Okay, yeah, so I kind of definitely got some old school Capcom feel from this game in some ways.
Yeah, it would work great if you only had, like, two buttons to, like,
use. Yeah, it's a little bit.
You only use two buttons to fight with, right?
Primarily, yeah.
Unless you're going to do a potion or something, but yeah.
Well, you know, jump, attack, and then special attack you can assign stuff
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
So Kamatani's dream was to direct his own game, as I said. So after working on a few games at Capcom, he basically comes to the conclusion that he's never going to get a shot to direct because there are too many talented people who work there.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's sad. So he's starting to get a little down.
Yeah. So he's like, he's coding, he's doing a lot of art and stuff. And he's like, oh man, I really just want to make my own game. But there are all these like talented people above him. He's like, man, if I just sit here, I'm never going to have a chance to direct my own game.
So he kind of like starts out sort of like the Katamari guy.
Yeah, yeah, you know, exactly.
Like he's doing something else with a game company, but he really wants to like make his own game.
Yeah. Kamatani leaves Capcom and starts working for a small unnamed company that was initially making adult games, but was trying to branch out into other genres.
Adult games?
Yeah.
Like porn games or like...
That's what
just
I would...
rated M, you know, GTA.
I would assume it was porn games, but I couldn't actually find the name of the company he worked for. It just said, literally, if you go to Wikipedia, it's unnamed company.
Okay, gotcha.
They might not have actually had a name. But yeah, they agreed to let Kamatani direct a game.
Would this be the equivalency of like someone that's working on like A-list movies, but they want to direct, so like to get their chance to direct, they have to go work for a porno company?
Exactly.
Is this the same?
This could be a movie. This could be that movie. This is pretty much the same thing.
We should do like a bio film on this guy or something. I don't know. Sounds funny.
Okay, so the game he gets tasked to work on is a life simulation game similar to Princess Maker, which actually never made it over to the States.
I don't know what Princess Maker is.
I actually never played the game, so I have no idea how to describe it.
You just know.
It's a life simulation game.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So, of course, Kamatani changes it to an action RPG and renames it to Princess Crown because he thinks it will appeal more to Sega. And also, action RPGs are kind of his jam.
Yeah. Is this a different game from Odin Sphere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, during development of Princess Crown, the company he's working for goes bankrupt.
Oh, no. Dang.
But thanks to a friend of a friend, his project was saved thanks to Atlas buying the company he was working for and integrating him into their one of their divisions of their company.
Okay, so Princess Crown doesn't turn into Odin Sphere, right?
Nope.
Okay, this is just like his first game. Okay,
yeah, gotcha. So Princess Crown gets released in 1997 for Sega Saturn.
Wow.
Critically, the game does well, but the game commercially bombs.
Oh, dang. So like the people that actually played it liked it, but just word of mouth didn't spread very well.
Yeah, so basically
that sucks.
Well, what it was, I think, was it kind of released really late into the Sega Saturn's life.
Mm-hmm.
At the point where people were kind of already moving away from the console.
Yeah,
that might have been part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not quite sure. So the game bombs, and then everyone at the division of the company that he gets integrated to gets fired because of it.
Oh man.
And yeah, the game never makes it out of Japan, so...
This poor guy. He finally reaches his goal, and then it just turns out really bad.
Yeah, so can you imagine, like, coming in, like, getting your project integrated into a company, and then ending up getting everyone who works there fired?
Yeah, man, you'd have to feel a lot of guilt. Like, I would probably be a little depressed after that. Yeah, super sad.
Kamatani starts freelancing for other companies. He works on some confidential projects for Sony. Eventually, he starts working on a game for Enix called Fantasy Earth Zero.
Ooh.
And while he's not directing the game, they give him a lot of free rein to kind of like work on it.
That's cool.
So basically, Fantasy Earth Zero starts off as a small-scale online game but the scale of the project just explodes while he's working on it into a full-blown MMO.
Like, oh, crap.
Massive multiplayer online.
So like, it's just like spread in popularity. So they.
No, no. This is during development. So basically, their scope of the game changes as he's working on it to this big, massive project.
Gotcha.
Basically, I think while this game was in development, World of Warcraft had released. Mm-hmm. And that game became like kind of a major hit.
And so it started a trend, and other games wanted to, you know, get on that.
Yeah. So it gets to the point where Kamitani basically has to create his own development company to work on the game.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So he's... Oh, because he's still doing freelance.
Yeah. Okay. So they're giving him a lot of like leeway to work on the game. So he's basically hiring people to help him.
That's
because
cool.
the game grows in scope and size so much.
Yeah. And he needs so much help that he basically starts his own company. That's really cool.
And he would later change the name of this company to Vanillaware.
Nice. That's a really kind of random name, but.
Yeah. He thought the flavor of vanilla ice cream would like. You know how it is always kind of popular? It never goes out of style.
I guess so.
You wanted it basically a company that would always be able to produce games.
Oh, okay.
And never like,
go out of style.
Yeah.
I feel like vanilla, at least in the United States, has a little bit of a bad rep. Like people use vanilla as like a bad, you know, adjective, like plain, boring.
Yeah.
I love vanilla. It's delicious. And I agree. I think it's a classic. You can always build on top of vanilla.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
And yeah, vanilla's not going anywhere.
By 2004, Enix had merged with Square and become, you know, a giant Square Enix corporation. And the company decided to go with a different development company to finish the game, essentially firing Kamitani's company.
No. Dude, this guy cannot catch a break, or he catches a break and then catches five other non-breaks.
Yeah, so Kamitani...
I feel so bad for this guy.
He considers his involvement in Phantasy Era Zero to have been the toughest and most stressful experience in his time in the video game industry. I can't imagine like getting a project and just they keep asking for more and more and then it just never ends. Yeah. And then eventually they're just like, you know what? No, you're done.
I bet he has a lot of trust issues after that. I would anyways.
Yeah. So Phantasy Earth Zero would finally be released in 2006 for Windows. And while initially it was a commercial failure, it did find some success in the years after its release. So yeah, it was kind of like another bomb for Kamitani, even when it finally did get released.
Poor guy.
But the bright side is basically now he has his own development company and no projects. So what do you think he decides to do?
Make Odin... Sphere?
Yeah, he starts to work on his own game, a spiritual sequel to Princess Crown called Odin Sphere. And, you know, it's like kind of doubling...
Spiritual sequel. I've never heard that term before.
It plays... I think it's because it plays very similar, but the story is totally different. And the setting is different.
Okay.
So, yeah. Just...
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I've never heard that before.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny. So he's doubling down on... Princess Crown, basically.
Which like, already bombed, right?
Yeah, he's like, I know this can work. So, of course, he has trouble finding a company to help fund and publish his game that he's working on. They make unsuccessful pitches to multiple publishers before somehow managing to convince Atlas, the same company who had fired him years earlier, to help fund and publish the project.
So they must have some faith in him if he was able to convince them to take another chance.
Yeah, I think maybe Princess Crown aged better. Maybe they're like, you know what, this game wasn't that bad. Maybe we'll give you a second chance.
Well, I'm glad they did, because that's how he got this game, right?
Yeah, Kamitani begins writing a story. It's basically centers around Gwendolyn and Oswald, their kind of love story. And it's based on an opera called Der Ring des Nibelungen, written in 1874 by Richard Wagner. Have you heard of this opera?
No, I couldn't name one opera, even though you just read one. I don't even remember the name. I already forgot the name of that one. Except maybe Phantom of the Opera? Is that an opera?
It's got to be. It has opera in the name.
It's a musical, but I don't know if it's actually an opera, but... yeah, I haven't seen too many operas in my lifetime.
Yeah, so he's planning on just taking a month to work on the story, a month or two. It ends up taking him 6 months to write it. He incorporates other inspirations from like William Shakespeare and traditional European fairy tales into the lore. And he also is the art director, art and character designer for the game.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a lot of his art. You know, he started off as kind of a pixel artist. Mm-hmm. It's kind of his jam.
Well, the art is really, really good in this game.
Yeah, he actually does paintings on the side, too.
Ooh, that are, I bet they're gorgeous.
Although I will preface that by saying he likes drawing boobs and butts, and he also likes drawing super beefy dudes.
Yeah, that comes across.
He did bring in an additional artist just for the food, just to design just the food, food elements. Art? Yeah, just for the food art. Mm. Because he felt like food played such an important role in the game.
Yeah, it does. And the food does look pretty good.
Yeah.
Like some of it doesn't really look like what it's supposed to be, but I don't know if it's just a cultural thing. Maybe omelet just looks different in Japan. I don't know.
Like, how was the omelet, like, off?
Oh, like, didn't it have, like, red stuff on top of it? I don't know. Maybe it has ketchup. Yeah. I don't know.
Some people like tomato sauce or ketchup
or
something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it just looked weird to me.
So the music of Odin Spear was composed by a team from the music company Bass Escape with the aim of emulating the game's Shakespearean atmosphere, invoking the feeling of opening a Harry Potter novel for the first time. So when you start off the game, do you feel like you're opening like a Harry Potter novel just based on music?
I can get the, yeah, I definitely can see that that was their inspiration for sure.
I can agree with that.
Did this game come out after that or before Harry Potter movies?
Well, it would come out in 2007.
So I think there was definitely Harry Potter movies by then, right?
I think so.
But yeah, I can see that. Like, it's very just beautifully composed music.
Like, yeah, it's like orchestral. It's
It's kind of ethereal, like angelical, I guess.
Yeah.
At certain parts, there's like choir sounding voices and stuff like that. And it's really relaxing, sort of.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The music changes when you're doing the fighting scenes and stuff. But like when you're in the opening menu, or like when you're on the parts where you're not fighting, the music is like pretty chill.
Yeah, he actually met the guy working on Fantasy Earth Zero, the person who directed the music.
Oh, cool.
And he felt like he just got a ridiculous deal on the music because it turned out so well. So development of Odin Sphere finished in 2006, but Atlas, who had already had a big game coming out that year, which was Persona 3, decided to delay the release until 2007 because they were afraid of cannibalizing their own market. So basically, they finished developing the game in 2006, and Atlas was like, you know, we're just going to hold it for a year.
Because Persona 3, obviously, it's the third one, so like it already has proven itself. So they probably didn't want to delay that one,
yeah,
you know, instead.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they didn't want to release two games at the same time.
Yeah.
So during this time, Vanillaware had basically no income. They worked on another game, but they didn't start seeing sales from that for around the same time Odin Sphere would actually release.
Crap. I wonder what they did for money.
I'll tell you what they did for money. Kamatani took out a personal loan of 20 million yen, or about $175,000, in order to keep his company afloat.
Oh, man. Man, this guy's had a very stressful life. Yeah. I would be like so stressed out if I had to do all these things.
Odin Sphere would release in 2007 for PlayStation 2, which was actually pretty late into the PlayStation 2's life, since PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 had come out in 2006.
Yeah.
But it sold over 350,000 units worldwide by 2008.
Is that good?
Yeah, well enough to land it on the greatest hits line of PS2 games.
350,000 doesn't sound like that much, but
relative
like
to
worldwise, you know?
Yeah, relative to like today's.
Yeah.
Like this game was a hit.
Okay.
With one video game critic, Play Magazine, stating that in the case of Odin Sphere, we are confident that this is the perfect game and that anyone who comes to it will derive the same.
Wow. Okay. Those are fighting words. Perfect game. I don't think any game is perfect, but this game is far from perfect in my eyes.
There's really no reason to do a review when it comes up because, I mean, this is already the perfect game.
Yeah, according to that one dude.
And anyone would get to that same conclusion by playing. That's literally what he says. So Kamatani was able to pay back his loan and even give employees who worked on the game a bonus. To this day, Vanillaware is still developing video games.
Nice.
So yeah, it does have a happy ending.
So Rocky start the happy ending.
Yeah.
Aw. I like how you started all the way back in 92, way before he even got to this game. You just wanted to know the struggle.
Hey, we got there, man. Huh? Yeah, it was a lot of downs, a lot of downs before you got to the ups.
A lot of ups and downs. And ups and downs.
Yeah, it's like ups, you get to work on your own game. Like downs of bombs.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's super interesting. Do you have any fun facts?
Oh, yeah, I got three.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Three fun facts.
Fun facts.
Okay, so.
My favorite part.
Fun fact number one. All five of the main playable characters are in the same family tree.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I did figure that out, I think.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Considering you hadn't even gotten to some of them yet.
I accidentally read it. I was looking up something else and I accidentally read that part, so.
Okay, so do you know how they're linked together?
Except, okay, probably, I think, okay, is one of them Gwendolyn and Oswald's daughter?
No.
Dang. I know one is like Gwendolyn's half sister, right?
Yeah.
I guess Odin probably like slept around or something.
Oh yeah, he was kind of a
that guy was a dick. But
okay, so yeah.
I don't know. I'll let you tell me.
Oh yeah, so Velvet and Gwendolyn are half sisters. Gwendolyn is married to Oswald. Oswald was adopted by Mercedes' cousin, but is in fact true cousins with Cornelius.
Whoa. Okay.
So you got all that?
All right. So Gwendolyn and Velvet are half sisters.
Yes.
And Oswald and Mercedes are cousins.
No. Oswald was adopted by Mercedes' cousin.
Oh, so he's not really... Okay, so he's adopted in.
Yeah.
And then Mercedes and Cornelius are actual cousins.
No, Oswald and Cornelius
Jesus
are actual cousins.
Christ. Okay.
Who's on first?
I need to see like a map laid out, but okay. And then Gwendolyn and Oswald get married.
Yeah, they get married.
Okay. Does anyone else get married in this? Does Cornelius marry, like, Velvet or anything?
I don't think anyone... I mean, they're Velvet and Cornelius hook up, but I don't think they actually formally get married.
Okay.
Okay, fun fact number two. The Pookas, or bunny people, as I like to call them, mm-hmm. are actually humans who have been cursed. So when the country of Valentine was destroyed, everyone who lived there was turned into either a Pooka or a goblin, depending on if they were a good person or not. So you basically know that every Pooka you encounter in the game is a good person.
Aw, that's why I like them so much. Yeah. They're cute.
So all the Pookas are good.
Yeah, and the Pookas are the people that cook for you.
Minus the people that Ingwe curses as Pookas later, after the
oh,
initial
no.
curse.
So there are some bad Pookas?
There's at least one, but he dies pretty early on. So,
good to know.
Not as common.
In case I keep playing the game.
Okay, so fun fact number three. So there is no Japanese symbol for Kamatani's first name, George. So instead he uses a kanji symbol that phonetically translates as Joji. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any information as to how he ended up with an English first name.
I like Joji better.
So he goes by Joji Kamatani in Japan.
That's cool. Joji sounds cooler.
Yeah.
I like that better than George.
But his actual name is George.
Interesting.
And those are my fun facts.
Wow. A little light on the fun facts.
I had the most interesting stuff in the story, so you know.
I have a fun fact that I can add.
Sure.
Because yeah. I did a little research. Spoiler alert for my rap that I'm going to do. Alice, you know, the little girl that you play kind of in the... I guess the title screen, sort of, where you pick up the book, you know?
Yep.
She is supposedly Gwendolyn and Oswald's granddaughter somehow.
Oh.
Probably great-great-great-granddaughter. It's like, you know, a yeah. thousand years since.
And somehow she ended up with all their books.
Yep. And...
I mean, that's why she would have yeah. all the books, because they were all in the same family tree. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why she's reading them, to learn about all the stories of her family.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's my fun fact. Cool. Oh, booyah.
Yeah, good fun fact.
Thank you.
The more fun facts, the funner.
That's what I always say.
All right, so moving on to the review. We can just skip that. Perfect game.
That one guy said it was perfect game, and if you disagree, I guess you're not a gamer. I don't know.
Yeah. So what's something you liked about the game?
So I really like the artwork in this game. Like we were talking about earlier, it's really gorgeous. Like I can, when you said he does paintings, like I would buy. So there's one menu screen where it has like this painting of a forest with like northern lights and a moon, and it's all snowy.
Yeah.
And it's so pretty. And the way he does the clouds in the sky is gorgeous. I could totally see that being a painting if it's not already. But yeah, the artwork, the characters, they look really cool. The backgrounds, like the environment looks really pretty and nice. I will touch on another part of that, like when we get to the cons.
Okay.
But for the most part, I think just, yeah, the artwork in the game is really, really well done.
Yeah, I remember like when I first put this game into my PlayStation 2 and I was just like, holy crap, this is a PlayStation 2 game. Like the graphics are just, they blew me away.
Yeah, it doesn't look... it's not like grainy or pixelated or anything like that. It looks really nice.
Yeah. Well, we're also playing like a HD remastered version of it too.
True.
So it didn't quite look as good as it did. But honestly, it's not that far off.
Yeah.
But yeah. So when this game came out, like that style of graphics was kind of not done nearly as much. Everything had kind of gone to like a blocky kind of gray 3D. So yeah, that's just one of the reasons why this game, when it came out, it was just like, whoa, these graphics are amazing.
Yeah, the game is really colorful too.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not a black and white game for sure. It's like super vibrant.
Yeah. So yeah, the graphics really hold up for a PS2 game.
Yeah, it really does. Especially like, what did we play Metal Gear Solid 2 on?
PlayStation 2, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Compared to that, it's like, yeah, night and day.
I mean, Metal Gear Solid 2 had excellent graphics back in the day. That was like a really good graphic.
Yeah, and it's not that good, though.
Yeah, for now. I mean, it's dated.
Compared to Odin's Sphere, where it is, like, still really good.
Yeah, that 3D style of, like, that PS2 era, PS1 era, really looks really not that great. It really hasn't aged well. So one of the things I liked was the soundtrack was good. You know, full orchestra, like, fits perfectly with fantasy epic setting. Like,
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, soundtrack's really good. Music's really good.
Yeah. What about you?
I think the way that they tell the story is pretty unique. It's kind of like you're seeing the same story, like, five different times, right? From, like, different characters' point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Even though I didn't really get to that part personally, I was watching you play it. And I think that's like a kind of a cool concept. Like I've seen like movies and TV shows and stuff do that kind of thing before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really haven't seen it in a game that much. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So yeah, you have the five characters, Gwendolyn, Cornelius, Mercedes, Oswald, and Velvet. And you kind of like, there are nations at war, you know, you're kind of getting both perspectives of the war between these two nations. You have different points in time where events happen. So you get to see these different events from different characters' points of view if they happen to be like around that event or something.
Yeah.
So really neat how it all kind of plays out.
Reminds me of a format that we do in improv called close quarters. You know, say you're like at a mall or something, and like lightning hits the building or like there's an earthquake, you would potentially be able to see like the same scene happening, but from different people's points of view of like, maybe here's a security guard going through an earthquake. Here's someone in the food court going through an earthquake, whatever. Yeah. So if they're like nearby, you could possibly kind of like see what that person's doing from the other person's point of view. Like sometimes it crosses over. So yeah. I imagine like sometimes there's events and you kind of see other characters like in the background or something.
Yeah, that's cool. One of the other things I liked about the story was how the characters all undergo like personal growth, like they develop as characters throughout the story. And you can kind of see that with, you know, Gwendolyn kind of learning to stand up to her dad, Mercedes learning how to be a queen, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see that character development play out. What's something else that you liked?
The fighting part of the game, this like side scroller beat 'em up type mechanic is really fun. It's really smooth. Like it's not too hard to like do the fighting moves and stuff like that. or at least, like, I only got through the first book, so I only played with, or played as...
Gwendolyn.
So I didn't get to play as the other characters, but I thought, like, the actual playing and fighting of the game, like, that part was really fun and really, like, easy to learn, just, like, high action.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, because each character kind of plays different from one another. They all have their different quirks.
Yeah, that's true. Like, Gwendolyn has a spear. Yeah, and then, like, I saw you were playing with who, Mercedes, and she has, like, a crossbow.
Yeah.
Which looks really cool. What weapons do the other characters have?
Cornelius has a sword. I think Oswald has a sword. and then Velvet has this chain, these chain hooks, I think.
Yeah, Oswald has kind of like a smaller sword than Cornelius.
Maybe a knife. Maybe more of a knife, yeah.
Or a dagger or something. That's really all the pros I have. I'll let you keep going because I know you like this game a lot more than me. This is definitely a game that we don't necessarily agree on.
That's fine.
But yeah, that's like most of the pros for me. And I'm going to go in hard on the cons. So I'll let you finish all the stuff that you like.
Okay. Well, adding on to the gameplay one, like, I love the RPG elements in it. Like, it really adds to the beat 'em up for me. Because otherwise beat 'em ups can get kind of tedious, but it will throw new moves in there and it will do interesting. You know, you have to level up your character. That kind of makes it more interesting, I feel like. And then I have this as both a pro and a con, but each character ends up having a bunch of different attacks and spells that they can cast. This is great when it comes to, you know, repetition and making it less repetitive. But the downside is that you can only hotkey up to like four of them, and you get probably around like 12 or 14 or something like that.
So you better learn them or not use them, basically.
Yeah, well, you can still access them by pausing the game and pulling up a menu, but that kind of kills the momentum.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like most of them don't end up getting used unless you're constantly updating your hotkeys. Is that kind of how you felt?
There's too much going on in this game, and so, like, I didn't even know about the hotkeys until you told me. So, yeah, no, I didn't even do the hotkeys.
I mean, there's a tutorial on it. Did you not pay attention during the tutorial?
Come on, you know my history with tutorials.
All right, let's go on to cons.
All right. This game has too much going on, too much information. It's overwhelming. Like, they needed to edit, like, five things out of this game.
It's like, five characters. Yeah, out of five, you wouldn't have a game.
Okay, but listen. No, you still have five characters. But look, there's fighting. There's making potions. There's planting seeds. There's eating fruit. There's all these recipes for stuff that you have to remember. There's
cooking.
There's eating food, stopping at restaurants. There's buying stuff from vendors. There's books you have to read. There's... what's that one screen that I just avoided because it was too overwhelming where you have
where you can upgrade your skills?
Yeah, you have skills you can upgrade, weapons you can upgrade, things to equip. Like, it's just a lot to learn and remember all of it all at the same time. Like, I'm glad I played on easy and I kind of just ignored most of the stuff because... like, I don't know. My brain does not work well with just so much.
It's funny you say that because, like, the more I think about it, a lot of modern action RPGs have a lot of these elements in them. Like, I think of Breath of the Wild. It has almost all these same elements in it.
Well, I haven't played Breath of the Wild before. I haven't really played any Zelda game.
But, yeah, I can see what you're saying. It can definitely be overwhelming.
It's just, like, too much going on. I think they could have just taken out, like, the whole eating fruit element. Like, you didn't need that. You already have potions. Like, you don't really need to plant seeds. Why do they have that in there?
They function differently, though, because
I know they function differently, but, like, why couldn't they just streamline it and make it just more, like, simplified, I guess? I don't know. I feel like... like, what's that one saying, like, by Coco Chanel? Like, before you leave the house, you should look in the mirror and take one thing off. I feel like they should have looked in the mirror and taken, like, five things off. Because they've got, like, a Lady Gaga outfit going on. It's just, I mean, I get like why you like it, because it's, I guess it's all those things make the game different. But for me, it's just like really overwhelming, especially when like I only have 2 weeks to kind of like play the game and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of information all at one time.
Yeah, it's a lot of information, a lot of tutorials when you're starting the game, like
a lot of reading.
There's like 20 tutorials.
It's just like it takes you a while to get started. And none of it's the fighting part. The fighting part's the easiest part of the game, which is why I like it. But it's just like all the other things you have to remember to do all the time.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, it's just overwhelming. Like, just be prepared to. There's a lot of like different elements to this game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my cons is that the game recycles enemies, areas, and bosses. This becomes very noticeable once you start Cornelius's story after you complete Gwendolyn's. And for most of it, you're fighting a lot of the same enemies and bosses. I would have preferred for them to actually have cut the game shorter with less repetition than you end up getting.
Gotcha.
But they do try to find ways to keep it interesting and change things up. I like, you know, they control differently and they and occasionally it will throw in a new area or a new type of enemy or a new boss or something or a new mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to keep things interesting, but to me, yeah, it kind of carries on a little bit too long. But you know, this is a JRPG, and JRPGs kind of have that reputation of just being grind heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't played that many, but yeah, I think it like goes into the whole thought that you need to have a game that's gonna be worth its money, I guess. So they want to like make sure you have a lot of stuff to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see it as a positive or a negative, because you might get more attached to your characters when you're spending more time working on them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's something else that you didn't like?
It has books. Oh my god, why do we keep picking games that have books in them? Like, I read books like separately from video games. This is like two different things, and I don't need them to be combined all the time. I'm just halfway kidding, but there's just like, yeah, there's a lot to read that like really you don't need to read, because they also do it in little scenes with the characters talking. So like you were telling me, you were like, yeah, you can just skip all the reading, because like you pretty much get all the information from
I didn't
the
recommend skipping all the reading. The important information is going to come from the scenes, but if you want to know more about like the lore,
yeah,
you can read the extra little bits. It's not actually that much reading. Most of what you find are just like recipes and like, yeah, recipes for food, recipes for potions, stuff like that.
That's true.
And a lot of that, like the recipes for potions, you can actually figure out yourself. You really don't even need those.
Yeah, it just goes back to my point to where they could have just cut some stuff out. Why do they have to show you the recipe if they're already going to tell you the recipe when you go to like make it? Like, why do you need that extra page? I mean, whatever.
So you can start preparing. So you know what ingredients to gather.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
One of my cons was some of the English voice acting I felt could be a bit better. I felt a little bit wooden or overacted in some parts. But that's kind of a minor complaint.
Yeah, that's a minor. I thought that was actually pretty good. One of my other things is the map. Just the map function is, I don't know. They could have just, I feel like they could have made everything more simple in this game. But like the way the map is set up, so once you beat a level, the land kind of loops around.
Yeah,
right?
So it's like you're on a sphere.
Yeah, so like you're on a sphere. Okay, yes, that makes sense. So there's different doorways that take you on different routes to different parts of the map.
Yep.
If you haven't bought the map from like a vendor, then you can't really see that far in advance on the map. And so, I don't know, it's just kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It's just got complicated for me, and like until you explained to me how it worked, I was just like clueless, just running around this map doing whatever, wherever I got, because like I didn't really understand how the like map worked or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I got you, but
I don't like it. I don't like the map.
But if you're like me, you're wanting to explore the entire level anyway, so you're gonna go to every corner of the thing.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to go straight to the boss because I just wanted to like beat. I was trying to get through more than one book, but you know, it didn't happen.
My final con is It's actually not on this version of the game, but on PS2 and some of the larger battles, there was some pretty bad frame rate drops. Luckily, that's not an issue in the re-release.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like playing the re-release, we kind of... it's kind of like cheating just a little bit.
Nah, it's fine.
It's like almost playing the original, but a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, they just tweaked some like things that were kind of inconvenient about the original.
Yeah. My last thing is, I feel like the character design is a little sexist.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the female characters are wearing like some very skimpy outfit that, like, if you were actually battling in this outfit, you might as well just be naked because it would fall off immediately. And like the final boss that I played as Gwendolyn, she is basically a skeleton. Like, her arm is bone. You can see her spine. But yet she's got these giant boobs that are bigger than, like, they're probably like 2 times as big as her head. And they bounce around and melt and all this stuff. And I'm just like... She's a skeleton with boobs. Okay, this is how you know a man designed this character. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of annoying. Like, there are a few male characters where, you know, you can see all their muscles and stuff. But, like, literally every single female character is, like, wearing something skimpy. They have giant boobs. It's just like... I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of view it as like the sexy...
Played out.
The sexy Halloween costume.
Yes, like for sexy fairy or some... Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, sexy witch. Like, I mean, I know this came out, like, back in 2006 or 7, you know. And things were different then. But I'm just... I think we're over it at this point. I just want to see female characters wearing normal-ass shit they can actually fight in.
Yeah, it's that kind of double thing. It's like, okay, here's this like awesome, cool female warrior, but she also wears high heels and a thong.
Yeah, exactly. She has 2 coconut shells as a bra. Like,
yeah, that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm over it. I mean, I guess that's what we're going to get with like some of these old games, because that's like before a lot of women were in the industry and stuff. But I feel like now... things are changing for the better because more women are getting involved. So
that's true. So any other cons?
No. Pretty much said my piece, I think.
Okay. What about strategy for the game?
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like if you were up for learning all the things that there are to learn, there's a ton of strategy to be used as far as like when you're battling, knowing when to make potions, when to use certain things, when to eat fruit, like that kind of stuff. But I pretty much, like, during the fighting part, I just tried to use my combo button like all the time.
Oh, your hotkey button?
Yeah, like my hotkey button, the thing that like strings together a bunch of moves all at once.
Yeah, your kind of special move button.
Yeah, I pretty much just tried to use that like almost the whole time.
All right, so
it does the most damage, and your power, like, your power bar actually regenerates pretty fast. So, like, you could pretty much just use it the whole time, maybe take a 1 second break, and then for it to load, and then just use it some more, you know?
So spam the special button.
Yes.
Sticky strategy.
Yes, 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 yes. And make sure you know how to use all the upgrades and stuff, I guess. That would probably help, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, as far as what to... upgrade, it's probably the best thing to upgrade is just your main weapon, because that's your base damage when you're attacking.
Yeah.
As far as upgrading each and every single like active move, that you get so many that it's like, okay, how long are you gonna move that, or how long are you gonna use that move? Probably not that long. If it's towards the beginning of the game, if it's later, probably start figuring out what moves you like and then level those up. But yeah.
I should also say I played on easy mode. And so my experience was probably easier than yours. So like I maybe got away with like not being as good at the fighting stuff.
I felt like it kind of balanced out because I kind of tend to grind more when mm-hmm. I play, whereas you just kind of run through the level and you don't gather all the like new equipment and like
I tried.
You don't eat as much and
I
you know.
Tried.
No, I'm not saying you don't do it at all, but I'm just saying, like, you don't do it. You didn't go to the extent that I did playing the game, so.
Okay. Yeah. We know who's better.
No, I'm just saying, I'm like, just honestly, some parts I felt like might have been more difficult for you because you didn't have like a million healing potions.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I should have probably like made a bunch up in advance or something to like have in my arsenal. That would have been smart.
Yeah, it's smart going into the final boss.
Which I did not do. I had to like just create them as I was going, and then I didn't have that many, like.
Then you ran out of fruit.
Yeah, I didn't have that much.
Or ran out of the raw vegetable ingredients, which is different from the berries and stuff that you pick. A lot of enemies and bosses are kind of slow to turn around, especially if they've already started to attack, like in one specific direction.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You can just like jump over them and start attacking on the other side.
So usually once they like initiate like a move or something, you just jump to the other side and wail on them.
Yeah, I did that. I did that a lot. Especially for that final boss.
Yeah.
The Queen Odette or whatever her name is.
And then my final one was, you never know what potions you might need in a tough battle, so it's a good idea to have a bunch of stuff that you can make into potions, so material.
Yeah, I wish I would have done that better.
One thing you could have been doing was, like, you know when you hear that squeaky noise?
Mm-hmm.
That means there, if you attack that, like, ground, there's, like...
Like the raw vegetable pops up or whatever. Yeah, I didn't know that, but...
You just weren't doing it?
Maybe I just didn't hear it. Like, maybe it was... I don't know. I was trying to, but maybe I just wasn't as attentive.
It's just like, man, you're just not getting any vegetables. and that's pretty much it. You know, each character plays different, so just kind of getting used to the way that character plays.
Yeah.
And what their moves are, what their special moves are. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much it.
I'm probably not going to go back and play any more of this game. I just, like, the whole time I was playing it, I was like, I'd rather be playing, like, Animal Crossing or like anything else.
But it's the perfect game. Why would you not like it?
It is not the perfect game.
Anyone would come to the same conclusion.
Except me.
Okay.
Did you think it's the perfect game though?
I thought it was good.
You like it. Honestly, I don't even think you would say it's perfect, would you?
I put it pretty high up there. I really like it. To me, it clicks a lot of my boxes.
So you don't agree with me that it's just like too complicated?
No, I like it.
Dang, it's just me.
It's my preferred amount of complexity in a game.
I think it's just like, I think that's where, you know, me having ADD and you not having ADD comes in. Like, it's harder for me to focus on things.
I wouldn't say it's a perfect game or anything, but I think it's a really good effort.
Yeah. So I think I already spoiled it for everybody, but yeah, I definitely did not complete the challenge.
Well, we gotta do the future.
Oh yeah, the future. I don't have anything for the future, do you?
I just have one thing. So this game is, I don't know if it's ever gonna be re-released again after this. It's kind of like, I don't know what else you would do at this point. Mm-hmm. It's been cleaned up, it's been put in HD, it's like, it's on the modern consoles. It might continue to be released on new consoles. That's the only thing I can think, but I don't think there'll be a new version, but I don't think there'll be like a more complete version of the game.
Yeah.
So the most recent game from VanillaWare is a game called 13 Sentinels Aegisrim, which came out in late 2019. So the game follows 13 high school students in a fictionalized 1980s Japan who are dragged into a futuristic war between mechas and a hostile Kaiju. And a non-linear narrative. I haven't played it, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does sound kind of fun. I wonder if it's like super complicated and stuff though. Like this one, like if all of his games are going to have like 15 million things going on at home.
Yeah, it could be.
That's a deterrent for me.
So, and the other thing I just add was that, Odin Sphere is pretty much a complete story, so I wouldn't expect a sequel to it.
Yeah, true.
You kind of have...
They could always, like, do something with Alice. Like, maybe she could go on an adventure. Their great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so moving on to the challenge. Did you manage to finish 3 out of 5 books?
No.
How?
I got a third of the way through the challenge, though. I got through one book.
It's pretty good.
Dummy.
Yeah, I vastly underestimated how long this challenge would take. In fact, I only barely got 3 out of the 5 books myself.
Like, yeah, and you were playing a lot more than me.
And I played a lot. Yeah, I played a lot more than you.
Oh, a lot. Way a lot more.
I feel a little guilty about giving you such a...
You really shouldn't feel that guilty, because I did just accidentally give you kind of a hard challenge last time with the Katamari thing and finding all those 15 presents.
Yeah.
That was kind of hard. I feel like we're even. Like, I accidentally gave you a hard challenge, and you accidentally gave me a hard challenge.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to rap with you, but maybe I won't.
Oh, no. No. I take that back. How dare you, Eric? That is just unheard of, and you should be punished.
I agree.
All right. I must say, I think I'm going to impress you guys with my rap this week.
Yeah. Mickey's is like, really good.
It's fire. Fire for me. All right, let's just play the rap. Alice, the reader here, go ahead and grab my beer. It's been 1,000 years since the story of Odin's spear. Sitting with my cat, Socrates. Thinking about all these oddities. Stories of my family putting me at ease. You heard that right, listen to me, please. Gwendolyn and Oswald, that's what my grands are called. You better not be appalled, or you might get mom. My fist is bald, about to brawl. Even though I am small, you'll think that I am tall. Sitting with my cat, Socrates. Thinking about all these oddities. Like little debts, big titties. I'd like to hear all your theories.
Hailing from the first country, I'm the Prince of Valentine. Home of the cursed bunnies, magic is our tagline. Like bag wine, a landmine, waiting to go off. The cauldron was a hearse, we were cattle at the trough. It's off like Hasselhoff, my sister took the lead. Agreed to recede to the forest growing trees. Proceed to see the chronic, it's exceedingly ironic. Drank a tonic, was demonic, and it turned me to a frog. Found a fairy in a bog, and she used me like a dog. Dialogue getting clogged in the fog like I'm unseen. I intervene, steal the scene, and turn the brat into a queen. I lose my green sheen with the kisses of vaccine, and then I reconvene with my sis from Valentine. Like sunscreen in my eyes, it's her and some guy riding high in the bear sky. Like Popeye gone awry, I can't even lie. Turned his ass into a puka. Turned his ass into a puka. Turned his ass into a puka. I smoked him like a hookah. Man, sick rhymes, Nikki.
Thank you. I tried to do something a little different. I tried to challenge myself and do something a little more speedy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm usually kind of a slow rapper. And not that this is like Busta Rhymes fast or anything. You know, I'm not Twista, but like I tried.
Yeah.
I never heard trying.
I can see you getting better and better.
Thank you.
Which is, you know, kind of the point, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, trying to get better at rapping. For sure. I'm going to be a rapper one day. So, Eric, are you dying with curiosity as to what game I purchased on your Steam account today?
Yeah.
Should I guess? Steam account now that we're married.
Should I make guesses?
Do you have any kind of clues or anything? Are you just going to guess out of the blue out of all the million video games we haven't done yet? I can give you a hint.
Maybe, okay, what about... Okay, yeah, let's hear the hint.
It's a simulation game.
Is it Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yes. How did you know?
I knew it was on your list of games that you wanted to play.
It was not. Okay, it kind of was. This is a game that I played a little bit when I was younger, but like my brother Nolan was like hardcore into this game. Like, yeah. He played it a lot, and he had his amusement parks like all built up. Yeah, he super got into it. I think I played like just enough, but it was really fun. I think that I might like it more now that I've played more games and stuff. So we're gonna revisit the Roller Coaster Tycoon. I think I'll end up doing like the history probably just over the whole game franchise, but we're going to be playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
Which is not the newest one. The newest one is called Roller Coaster Tycoon World. But I was reading the reviews on Steam, and a bunch of people said, like, after you play for an hour or two, it just crashes, and then, like, you can't get it to do anything else after that. And so, I don't know, I was kind of scared to, like, do that one, even though it seemed cool, because, like, you would get stuff from all around the world, like, more, I guess, cultural, like, themed stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, I didn't want to risk it, so we're going to go in the Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Okay, yeah, I've never played 3. I played the first one, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I wanted to try to do the newest one because I figured the graphics would be the best. But, you know, we're going to go next best thing, which is the next newest one.
All right, let's see how that goes.
All right, are you ready to hear what your challenge is, though?
Yeah. Is it make a roller coaster?
You got to make 10.
Make 10 roller coasters.
Yes. Your challenge is to create a park with 10 different roller coasters, each with the excitement value of at least 6.
So they have to be different from one another. I can't just make one coaster and copy it 10 times.
Would you go to that Six Flags? Would you go to that park? If it was just like, okay, here's like the Batman roller coaster, 10 different places. No, hey, you would not go to that.
You change the colors. You change the theming slightly.
No. Yeah, they have to be 10 different roller coasters.
Okay.
And they all have to have an excitement value of at least 6.
Okay. So they can't be bad.
Yeah. And I would like to throw in an additional thing that no one can die on them or have previously died on them.
What happens if they break and people die? Is that a thing in the game?
I don't know. I don't remember. Okay, we'll just stick with the first thing. But try not to kill any people, okay? All right. Don't let the excitement value be because they're probably gonna die off.
So I gotta try not to kill any people in this park.
Yeah, try
saying.
Not to kill any people. Do you think you can do it?
The not killing people part is gonna be tough, but you know, the making the coasters, I think it'll be fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I already bought it, so we just gotta get to it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. See you guys next time.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye. As always, if you like what you heard, please go leave us a review on Apple Podcast. That would be super helpful. Follow us on Instagram at pressanybutton_podcast. And we would like to know what your opinions are. Have you played this game? What'd you think of it? Let us know. See you next time. Bye.